This is Bart Isley. I'm here with Ryan Yeaman for the latest edition of the Scrims Play podcast. And right off the top, we'd like to thank the SP podcast presenting sponsor, C&G Paving. If you want your paving or asphalt job done right the first time, you want C&G to knock it out. With 30 years of experience under owner Jeff Gray, this family-owned local business has been taking care of roads, parking lots, and driveways across Central Virginia for decades. And with a 5-star rating on Facebook, you know they're going to get it right. Give them a call at 540-456-6179 today for a free estimate. I'm Bart Isley. I'm here with Ryan Yeaman for the latest edition of the Scrimmage Play podcast. And we're still rolling with football season. Another week. We're going to get one more game at least out of this football year.
Yeah, get a gift out of Goochland getting back into the state Final Four. That's pretty nice. Two times in the last 3 years for them. And then it sort of continues a run for us that we've had going back to, I think it was 2013 was the last year we didn't have one. Yeah. But 2014 with Western. And then we've had a couple Goochland runs, a Louisa run, and here we are again.
And rolling along. So very exciting to see the Bulldogs. Let's start with our C&G Road Grader of the Week. Not very often that we give the Road Grader out to technically a non-lineman, but this guy's really earned it in a big way, and he just shut down what was a pretty impressive Pocosin offense coming into this one. Sam Brooks. We've talked about him before. He's the Region 2A Defensive Player of the Year for a reason. He is a guy that apparently was stuck, over the summer, not being able to go to camps and stuff, but is going to have some offers. Somebody's going to get a chance at a really good football player here. Sam Brooks, man, a big game. 12 total tackles, 4 solo, a tackle for a loss. He had his nose in everything. Just played tremendous football, and it's what that guy's been doing all year.
Yeah, and you got to see it up close and personal. I mean, his task was to shut down a running back.
Yes.
That just knows how to pile up 4 and 5 yard gains.
Colton Hicks, man. They talked about this a little bit. While it was wing T on wing T, they run it a little different, and especially the way that they run the ball to Hicks is a little bit different. He moves around. They move him to wing. They move him to the fullback, so it's A-back, B-back, wherever. They've got him all over the place. But the way they run buck sweep is quicker than how Goochland runs it. And that made a big difference in the timing and what the defense was doing. They gave up a 40-plus yard run to him, and it looked like he was just going to have a day early. But then Sam Brooks gets locked in, and Justin Woodson gets locked in, and then Kendrick Braxton. He gets locked in. Dude, these guys, this is a fantastic defense. They know they're very comfortable with who's behind them in the secondary as linebackers. They're getting all kinds of pressure from guys up front. They made it real tough on Pocosin when Pocosin was forced to throw. There was incompletion after incompletion because of pressure comboed with really good coverage on the back end. That's a sound defense. They played pretty fundamental stuff, and they can do that when they're playing against a wing T. They don't have to make as many changes. But we know Dan Summitt, man, we know as a defensive coordinator, and with the help of Alex Fruth, who's a real, a strong X's and O's guy as well, they're going to draw something fun up for an East Rock team that's been piling up some points. But we do want to go ahead and wrap it up, recognize Sam Brooks. Easy pick because he did a great job of shutting down Colton Hicks along with the rest of the Goochland defense. And again, 12 tackles, easy pick for C&G Road Grader of the Week. Let's talk about it, though. Goochland gets the win that they couldn't get last year against Pocosin, gets the job done, and now they get a shot at an East Rock team that a lot of people have had pegged all year that they're just kind of on a roll.
Yeah, I mean, East Rock came out of the gate this year and just smoked Spotswood. That's their regional rival, but, that's a 3A school, division above them.
It's the number 2 seed in Region 3C, man.
East Rock gave up a touchdown on the opening drive in that game, and then just, I think the final score was like 45-7. It was just, a manhandling. And then they just buzzed through everybody after that. I mean, it's pretty remarkable. This tournament has turned into a pretty good one. We've got 3 ones and a 3. So you got Goochland and East Rock as the 2 ones there, and then Radford's a 1 on the other side. A Radford team that took down the 3-time defending state champion in Appomattox last week. They beat Gretna the week before. That was really good. So Radford's good. And then you have Graham that is the 3 seed coming out of a weird matchup. They played a 5-seeded Richlands team in their region championship. So really good tournament, and I mean, this game is going to be really good. Two really good defenses. East Rock, big physical line. They've got another, I mean, they probably got more depth as runners here because Juwan Evans is their guy. But you got Trenton Morris and Chandler Breeden, too. And then Logan Dolfmeyer, that's the big guy up front for them that leads that offensive line. Guchland at this point expects nothing less. Preparing for East Rock isn't going to be all that different. Maybe schematically it's a little different because East Rock doesn't run the same system that Pocosin does. But same task. I mean, it's just at this point in the year, right? It's just
big. Everybody's so good.
All the dudes up front are big. All the kids in the backfield are fast. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's just right now it's just it's roster depth and talent that determines so much of this now.
And it really depends. It's key in this one who can handle the pace of the game and dictate the pace a little bit, mm-hmm. Dictate the style of the game because they're playing on the Guchland's playing on the road, but for 2 weeks they've played on turf and they've been able to dictate and run their style of football, where they want to play really good defense. They want to play a little bit of field position because they got a pretty good punter. Hayward's been really good at flipping the field. I think it might have been the King William game where the kid ran out of being essentially tackled after a high snap, got it, booted it, and got it past the 50. I mean, they've got really key specialists, really good spots. They had Quincy Snead took one back. Like they want to get those kind of big plays in special teams. They want to play a little bit of field position and they want to lean on this defense. And it doesn't hurt the fact that like they have proven that they can make the big play when they need to. Devin McCray to Perry Snead Johnson touchdown that was the game winner that held up as the last score was just about as pretty a play as you could see, especially because afterwards McCray said that Perry got jammed on the line and couldn't get into his route. So they just kind of drew it up, but it was just perfect over the shoulder, great catch. Just as pretty a ball as I've seen thrown this year, right on it in a key moment like that. So they've got an offense that can make big plays, and when they've got a short field, they can capitalize. Maybe that's enough, but if they get into a shootout with East Rock, that becomes a little bit more of a problem.
Yeah, I think Guchland offensively, you have to do what you did last week, and that's be opportunistic.
Yes.
And make sure that you don't put that defense in a bad spot, you know, them having to defend a short field, those kind of things. That's sort of the key going forward. You said it last week. This is a state championship-level defense. Let them be that.
Yeah.
And so I think, grind it out as much as you can. But, hey, when the shots are there, when you can go over the top to Perry Snead Johnson.
Yeah.
When you can sort of dig into the playbook a little bit and be a little sort of unconventional by Guchland standards, go for it.
Yeah, by Guchland standards. But I think this is kind of the mark that Alex Ruth is putting on the program is the ability to take that kind of risk and toss that ball over the top to Perry Snead Johnson. I mean, great play calling, just tremendous play calling in those moments. They ran some really kind of interesting, different stuff. I don't know, just really impressed across the board. Another Guchland team that's really good and executing well.
Yeah. And those plays aren't possible unless Quincy Snead and Connor Poplars come up with, you know, the 3 and 4 yard gains here and there.
Yeah.
So they got to have that from them too, and stay true to their identity offensively.
And McCray had all day to throw on that one too. So that offensive line is clicking, man.
Yeah, they've been a good unit up front. They went through some struggles early on, but that is, I mean, we heard from Fruth early on after their scrimmage against Monticello and talking about like the thing that this group has is the cohesion offensive line wise. Just how well these guys get along. The communication is so solid, and mm-hmm. just really sort of a band of brothers kind of group. That stuff plays really well when it comes to playoff time.
So, Saturday, that's a big-time game. It's going to be a lot of fun. There's going to be a lot of state semifinals coming up over Friday and Saturday. That one, to me, stands out as just, you know, maybe it's not on the level of Eastern View Louisa, for sure, but these are two pretty darn good 2A football teams.
These have been
going
the
at it.
Top two ranked teams in their respective region for a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, I think on paper, this is a game that you projected to like sort of happen. And here it is. I think that's pretty cool. I mean, two big dogs in this fight. It's going to be interesting. The only team that sort of gave East Rock like a run for the money was Buffalo Gap. And then East Rockingham pounded them in the playoffs. and that, you know, it's a regular season game. That was a 7-point game. And right now, that's Buffalo Gap and Riverhead's the only only teams that have really sort of kept it close there a little bit. But East Rock beat Riverheads 28-0.
Oof.
That's hard. So
Riverhead's tough to do.
I think Gushen, you come into this one maybe feeling like an underdog. Maybe it's similar to the Appomattox game 2 years ago in terms of feeling. But that Appomattox team had playmakers that were just on a different plane. Those 3 years that they were winning state title, Scruggs at quarterback was just otherworldly. East Rock, it's a little different. This is a little more of a sort of corn fed ground game that they run, and so should be cool to see how they line up. I think there are a lot of similarities between these two teams.
Yeah.
So that's football, but we're into basketball now too. We already got a few results. Miller boys played over the weekend, won one, lost one. We got Charlottesville girls tonight while we're recording this, come up with a big 74-73 win over Harrisonburg. But we want to take, while the season has kind of started already, we're going to still take some time and do some predictions. Three kind of, from each of us, three big things we think, three things that we feel like are going to happen. And let's start off. You give us your first one.
I'm going to go with the Charlottesville boys as the sleeper to win the Jefferson District. That's a team that was so young last year, just remarkably young. But they bring back a lot of speed in Isaiah Washington, Damon Washington. And then if you didn't get to see Nick Motley play last year as a freshman, he's such a spark plug, a lot of fun to watch. High energy guy. He's all over the court, and Charlottesville in that 54 press that they run. It's fun to watch him play. But the big thing with Charlottesville is they got some 6-footers on this roster. Jabron Barnett, Lewis Tate, Tavion Brown, Thomas McNabb, all 6'1" or taller. Three of the four are 6'3". Charlottesville might be banging a little bit down low in the paint, which we don't see very often. Usually the guard heavy teams.
But when they do, they're pretty darn good.
Yeah. So I think Charlottesville, while they're still very young, I mean, this is still a mostly sort of underclassmen team. They did so much work of last year, sort of improving. They played some tight games. I mean, that was, if you were Charlottesville, you got a lot of work done playing against the Louisa, playing against the Albemarle, and playing against a Western team that were all loaded with seniors and experienced players. So I think they took their lumps from that last year, and this year I expect them to come out and do what they do.
I'm going to flip it a little bit. My projection is that we're looking at a Louisa County win in the Jefferson District. And I think that really the key here is that they've got a proven entity at point guard in Jared Hunter, and they've got a shooter who can knock down big shots in big moments in Chris Shelton. And to me, in a year where there's a mass exodus of talent at a few of the schools, I think that's going to be enough for Louisa to get the job done. You're feeling like Charlottesville is that team that can really make some big noise, have one of those big kind of come-up type years. I think Louisa, with just the core that they've got and what Rob Shelton's been doing over there in the last few years, I think they're going to be the guys. Now flip it over. There's a couple other big dogs in this district, and let's see where you think they match up.
Yeah, so I think Darren and Greg Maynard are going to earn their paychecks, particularly in December and January. They've got a lot of work for them. One team lost all 5 starters in Albemarle. The other team lost 4 starters in Western. I think both those teams finish in at least the top 4 in the standings just because of what the Maynards do, the systems that they run, and I think there's actually a good bit of talent on both rosters coming back.
Yeah, tell me about Western. We know, let's start there.
Sure.
Western, we know, lost. Yeah. We know they lost.
So Chris McGarren, Teo Rapini, Jed Strickland, Garrett Payne, those are big holes.
Yeah.
And a lot of those, like we talked about it, Jed Strickland was a guy that his stats didn't do him justice.
The guy's been playing defense for them since like 2004, it feels like.
Absolutely huge. But Tommy Mangrum was their breakout player last year, particularly in the playoffs. He got them through that region final. He had the big game in the against Northside in the Final Four to put them into the championship game. He's back. I don't know that there's anybody in the JD that can really hang with a Mangrum physically. That's going to be a double-team situation in the paint. But with that, Gabe Knox, Knopfsinger, Daniel Brown, Riley Pritchard, Henry Sullivan, and just what Western does. I mean, have we seen a down year at Western?
Doesn't happen very often. I mean, certainly.
Finishing in the top 4 would sort of be a down year. I mean, going into the playoffs last year, Western was having a down year. Yeah. Quote, unquote. And then they went to a state title.
Yeah, and Darren Maynard kept telling anybody who would listen, and then we kept talking about it, that like it was just a loaded year for the JD, and you could see four teams making deep runs. And what did we get? Louisa made a deep run. Albemarle made a deep run.
Yep.
Yeah, like Western made a deep run. I mean, like, and Western made the deepest run of anyone, going all the way to the state final.
And no, it pays when you're the Class 3 team playing against the 4s and 5s. It pays off down the road.
Yeah. It may not pay off in district titles all the time, but you're right. It pays off when you get into the playoffs.
On the flip side, over at Albemarle, I mean, all five are gone. Jaquan Anderson, I mean, unbelievably dynamic player. Mm-hmm. Just absolutely exceptional. Max Jarman, Cartier Key, Kayshawn Allen, Nell Arnold. Those are some pretty good starters to be losing. And really, that sort of closes the book on that run for Albemarle. You know, sort of 3 years of just unbelievable play from them that go back to Jay Conn and Austin Katzra. So that's sort of the end of that era. But Derek Jones was sort of a guy that came in and made a lot of big plays for them, helped them win some games, clutch down the stretch there. He's going to be a big one for them. Chris Cox. And then the addition of Miles Ward. Miles Ward's been playing in the prep league over at St. Anne's for previous years.
Miles Ward has to mark Armando Baycott last year. And now this year he's
used to, playing against the Trinity Episcopal team that, you know, has got kids that are the second guys off the bench are going to Duke.
Yeah.
So that's what he's used to seeing day in, day out. He's going to have himself a year playing for the Patriots. I think we'll see how they use him offensively, but just defensively, what he's able to clean up on the glass, the presence he can establish there. He's a big kid. We saw it in football, the impact he can make there. He's a physical guy. So I really like his ability, his potential. And then also, I mean, when was the last time we saw Albemarle have a down year? Since they joined the JD from coming from the Commonwealth, this has been their district for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't expect it to just change because there's some turnover. This is turnover that they've been preparing for quite some time. So this is where you find out, you know, how much depth you had in that JV program. And, you know, Greg plays a lot of attention into this program. Sort of, it's not just this high school program he looks after. There's a lot more to it.
They're ready. They bring guys in. They're ready. They ride guys. They get as much out of, you know, key players as they can. You know, what they've squeezed out of Jaquan Anderson and Katstra and Hahn over the last few years, tremendous.
Yep.
And they just find guys. I mean, they, you know, whether it's Miles Adams Yates or, you know, last year in Cartier Key, man, Cartier Key, huge year last year. So they just find guys to step up. On the girls' side in the Jefferson District, I don't think it's a bold prediction by any stretch of the imagination, but there's a lot of really good teams in the district. There's a lot of teams that are bringing a lot of key players back. But to me, there's a chance that Charlottesville girls, especially if tonight is any indication where they're throwing up 74 points, could be the Charlottesville girls' year to just kind of roll things.
I
got them running the table. I think there's a good chance. I think there's obviously some tough spots. You got to beat Western. They have struggled against Fluvanna. Those games have always been really close. So there's it's not easy to get out of it. But Charlottesville has the goods to do it. They didn't lose much. You know, they
lost one senior.
One senior.
Yeah.
And they bring back Jess Anchwe, T.C. Younger. I love Younger. I think she's a great player. Andrew's really darn good. Carmella Jackson's is back. Kanaya Key, she comes back.
She's the only senior on the
team. She's the only senior on the team now, but she's back from an injury. You know, they got all these pieces, and then they're trying to push the pace. And to me, that sets them apart in a district where everybody is really trying to control. Not necessarily control, but like, they are teams that hang their hat on defense, and so naturally sometimes the pace is going to come down a little bit. You know, Western is – if you can hold Western – or you've got to outscore Western because they are going to – they're going to clamp you down on defense. So you got to find spots. You got to find ways to score. Fluvanna wants to do the same thing. These are teams that are built on these sort of stifling defenses. If Charlottesville decides to take the pace up, and that seems to be the plan, 74 points tonight, that will be problematic for most any team in the district because they've got the kind of athletes that can impose their will. And they've had, when they've had these kind of players in the past, it's gone pretty well for
them. I mean, they made a state tournament with Destiny McDonald and Elijah Ragland just shooting the lights out of the gym. So if Antwi and Younger are those players again that they were last year and they've developed further.
And it's the depth, too. Yeah. You got to be – if you're going to try and run and put up points at that rate, you have to have depth. And they haven't had that depth, it doesn't feel like. But now they've just got players on players on players. I feel like this is a year not – you know, I think obviously Charlottesville is always in the district championship mix. I think they're going to be in that for sure. But yeah, I think there's a decent chance that they can run the table in the Jefferson district.
Yeah, Western obviously is a roadblock for them. They got to get through there. Flubana, maybe keep an eye on a Monticello team. Last year made a lot of improvements. Mm-hmm. There's depth in the girls' JD side. We've got like a lot of teams I think that could challenge Charlottesville. But I'm with you. Like I don't know that it would shock me if they ran the whole thing.
Yeah, I'm with it. Yeah. So, stay on the girls' side. You've got a prediction here that, again, matches up with what we see from a talent perspective.
I guess you got to take it when it comes to St. Anne's basketball. Like just to say that they're good. I mean, they're always going to be good.
Always.
Phil Stinney. That's what he does. They're going to be good. I got them making a state final this year. Usually, we've seen them in the state final four a couple times. State final, that would be a different level. State final to play against Paul VI.
Paul VI, yeah. Which probably books their hotel rooms now.
Their annual championship game. I think St. Anne's, you lose a Sierra Smith. That was just an absolute, vacuum cleaner of a defender. 20 boards a night kind of player. That is
they production. Didn't get to use Jayla Davis last year, who's going to Sacred Heart. But Sierra Smith, man, like you said, 4 years, that kid played defense and got boards, started doing some scoring in the last couple of years. But really, like, coaches love having a kid like that where you can just count on like, oh, well, there's 15 of our boards are coming from right there.
Yeah, like when they talk about like sort of play like a mad dog underneath the basket, like that's what she did.
Sierra Smith was awesome.
Yeah. And it's not like she was the tallest player on the court doing that.
No,
she was
just rugged, tough.
Yeah. So that's the sort of the stumbling block for them is trying to find that sort of rebound production. But when you have a Vanessa Woodfolk, who's really developed into a post player.
And a skilled player, man.
Yeah, this is somebody who as a freshman was sort of an outside shooter. Mm-hmm. She's sort of coming to her own as a post player now. And you have that, you talk about presence in the paint. She's tall. Mm-hmm. She doesn't have to jump to get the rebounds.
Right.
She can just reach over. So she's in good shape, gives them a great sort of
building block, yeah.
But Javiah Winkie, it feels like she's been playing forever. Because she has. Towards the end of her freshman year, she started starting. Unbelievable defender, lightning quick, gets so many steals a game.
I like how she controls the pace of games.
Yeah, she's just, really gritty defender there. And then she can fly up the court. Mm-hmm. She's got speed, she knows how to finish. Just a really athletic player that, as a point guard, gives them an advantage that, few teams have. And there's not going to be many times when she lines up on the court and she's not the best player in that matchup. I think that's a great starting point, that duo for Stab. But then Kamora Johnson.
Yeah.
The great mystery.
Yeah, this is the fun one. Kamora isn't just in eighth grade, but we know just from covering her, not covering her, but keeping track of her over the years, Kamora Johnson is a heck of a talent. Phil Stinney knows great talents when he sees it, and he's been really impressed with what she brings to the table. She practiced with the varsity last year, but now she gets a chance to work her way into the rotation, become a part of it, and she's the kind of player that can do so many different. She's just a positionless player. Tremendous ball handler, great shooter, scorer, can get in the post if she needs. Kamora Johnson is a tremendous talent. It's going to be a development process, but we saw this on the boys' side when Javon, Delarie showed up over there. Yeah. And everybody kept saying, like, just wait, it's going to be awesome. It was pretty darn good to start.
Yeah, it
turned out pretty great. And so we know, when a kid is being brought along this early, we know what kind of talent they are at Stab. And so it's going to be a lot of fun to see if she becomes that X factor for them. They've got a lot of different players who can step up and understand their roles and play key roles. And we know what Javai brings to the table. We know what Vanessa brings to the table. But if Kimora is able to deliver early and make some noise, it could be a lot of fun to watch what Stab looks like, because that gives them some extra speed. It gives them some height. It gives them just a lot of different things. And it's going to be fun to see her adjust to the high school game. She's been playing on, we know from a ways back, she's played on boys AAU teams. She's a heck of a talent, and has been challenged in the right ways. And so that should pay off for her at the high school level. She works her butt off, and it's going to be fun to see what she is able to put together. But obviously, like you said, Winky, Woodfolk, that's the core. And then we'll see what else they kind of put around him. But I'm with you. I think that this is the kind of team that can make a state final.
Yeah, absolutely. And anything short of a state Final Four for Stab is sort of like a damn
anomaly.
Yeah.
Weird.
So they're always sort of in that mix. And, kudos to Stinney and that program, and just sort of keeping we've never seen them dip.
Yeah.
They've just been, you go all the way back to, 10 years ago when we first started doing this. And it's just always been St. Anne has always kept the level of play at such a high level.
No question. My last prediction in this group of three each, it's a no-brainer, but the Goochland boys, they're going to repeat as the region champs. And I think that if we start projecting it out, and it all, like so much of basketball is seeding and matchups and everything, but that's a team that has the potential to be in the state Final Four, maybe a state title game. They've got the right guys back. And I think the Goochland boys, what Preston Gordon's done is awesome. They have really, done a great job of transforming this from a program that was something it felt like football guys did to keep in shape. But they have got it going on right now. They bring back Dion Harwood. He was the region player of the year last year, first team All-State kid. He's only 5'11", but 15 points a game and 7.7 boards. He's a guard who crashes the boards. That, to me, can be a real game changer. That can really open things up. They also have Quincy Sneed, who can move. They got Jamel Allen. They got Cameron Holman. They got some speed. They've got guys who can press, who can attack. And then they add a 6'6 freshman in J.B. Bell. And that maybe gives them yet another sort of post presence, another scorer, maybe some more rebounds. And they really got the goods. Then the James River District does not provide a lot of challenges. It's pretty much Buckingham, Amelia, because Jalen Brown is there. And that guy's pretty darn good, who's also the star quarterback. Yeah.
Just a year and a half or 2 years really removed from a state title run that they just made, yep.
Amelia, Buckingham. So the James River has some challenges, but there's a lot of games where you're getting the night off, or you could take it. But Goochland has taken a great approach and really managed expectations. They come out and they play hard every single night, and that's paid off for them in a big way. That's why they won the region championship last year. That's why I think that they've got a chance at maybe making a state Final Four run. And a big part of that, though, has got to be Harwood. He's got to play up to the same level that he played last year. That's asking a lot from anybody, but he's the kind of guy who can get it done.
Yeah. This is a team 2 years ago, spring of 2017 there, trying to make a run and sort of just stumbled in their own gym in the region tournament. And sort of got bounced early. They just didn't expect that to happen. And then, the key player on that squad was Jack Twombly. That's mm-hmm. a double-double machine. And he was the offense.
Mm-hmm.
And then you lose him last year, and then Harwood takes over. And they just did a really good job of shaking that loss off. They were pretty mm-hmm. bitter about it, and rightfully so. And then they just looked like a different team playoff experience-wise when they got to it last year. Getting over that hump the way they did last year, making their first state tournament and all that stuff, getting all those demons sort of exercised, I think that means a lot to them. They come into this season sort of just poised to do finish up what they did last year. Harwood, if you've seen him play, he's just I don't know how you defend him. He's a tall guy, so it's hard to block a shot, but he's running the point. He can do a little bit of everything for you. He can get you rebounds. He can get you... he's going to score a ton of points, but great defender, real lengthy. There's just a lot to like there. But Quincy Sneed was the guy last year that really came on strong for them, sort of as a backup player. And we'll see, what they wind up doing. They have to replace Dallas Holmes and Keyson Carter, but that's it. They didn't lose that much from last year's run. I think you're right. We'll see what kind of challenges they get thrown their way within their district, but it'll be come playoff time to see if they can just sort of regroup and put together what they did last year.
So a lot to look forward to this basketball season. Always a fun time of year. Fun to see, you know, what these teams are going to do, who's going to shake out where. So we're really excited about it. We're going to be checking back in next week. We're going to have some games under our belt. We're going to know what's happening a little bit more. And we appreciate you listening.